Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. My guest today is Muscogee Creek poet and musician and Tulsa native Joy Harjo, the Poet Laureate of the United States. Late last year, the Library of Congress announced that Harjo will serve a third term as Poet Laureate, only the second poet to do so, serving until 2022. Harjo is in the midst of an incredibly productive period, despite a pandemic. Her project co-editing a major anthology of Native American poetry, When the Light of the World Was Subdued, Our Songs Come Through, was released last summer. She has a forthcoming second memoir coming out this coming fall, Poet Warrior. She has projects with the Library of Congress and the Tulsa Artist Fellowship, documenting Native American writers and Native American influences on jazz. And she has a new album out, I Pray for My Enemies, which comes out Friday, a collaboration with the Seattle-based producer and musician Barrett Martin, featuring Peter Buck of REM, Mike McCready of Pearl Jam, Rich Robinson of Black Crowes, and other musicians. Harjo and Martin describe the album as funkified spoken word, featuring some of her most popular poems, songs, and new work. Here's a sample of the latter, her new song, Stomp All Night.
Let's hear it for the sisters, they know how to stomp up all night, cook all day. Give it to the brothers, they know how to sing in the circle all day, up all night. Round dance, chicken scratch, 49 and stomp. Bury my heart at Horseshoe Bend. We pay for light, we pay for water. Next thing you know, we'll pay to breathe harder. Let's hear it for the sisters, they know how to stomp. Text all day, talk all night. Give it to the brothers, they know how to sing.
That's the music of my guest today, the poet and musician Joy Harjo. There'll be a special sneak preview of the album, I Pray for My Enemies, tonight at 7 on Facebook Live in partnership with the Bob Dylan Center, the Woody Guthrie Center. It's titled An Evening Feeding the Spirit of a Nation. Joy Harjo is my guest. Joy Harjo, welcome back to Studio Tulsa. It's such a pleasure to speak with you. Thanks very much for joining us.
Yeah, it's really good to speak with you again.
Yes, you have been, considering that the whole country is in a lockdown and has been in a lockdown for a year, you have been tremendously busy. You're now in the third term as a Poet Laureate, and now you have this new recording out and a number of other projects as well. Tell us a little bit about this album. How did it come about, I Pray for My Enemies?
I've been working on the songs for that album for some time. I guess my last album, it's been over 10 years since Red Dreams, A Trail Beyond Tears, which was a very different kind of album than what I usually do. Not that every album has been, they've all been very different, but I have been working on songs and had quite a backlog of them. And when I was living in New Mexico, I had made friends with Barrett Martin, a drummer. He produces albums too, mostly his own stuff, but he's produced others. And for years, since living there for years, every year he'd come around and say, when can I help you with your album? And finally, he hit a time. It was the end of July. And he says, I have a week here with my studio set up. If you can make it to Port Townsend, you know, and this is in the middle of the pandemic, we can record foundation tracks. So we have a little RV. We drove up all the way. It was a long way.
Yes, it is.
And beautiful up there. And I carried my tunes with me. And then we did a few up there, you know, just made a few up there that I hadn't brought. And, he came down in December, no, not December, this fall anyway, and we recorded over at the storefront, the old Guitar House storefront, recorded most of the horn and saxophone and some other parts, and mixed it in Seattle with Jack and Dino, who was, you know, behind all those major grunge bands like Nirvana and so on. And I love Jack. He's one of the best things for me to come out of the album is his friendship and what his gift. And so here it is, I Pray for My Enemies.
I Pray for My Enemies is the last track on the cut. And this was a poem you did probably 4 or 5 years ago, I think. Does this have new meaning today after a pandemic and after just the last few years of what has seemed to be a country that is at war with itself?
Oh, yeah. I think that what began to happen, there's always timing. I was going to say everything's about timing, but because of, you know, of course, being in the middle of a pandemic and trying to find meaning and how we're going to make it as human beings and as earth people who are part of the earth, and then watching how cruel people can be to each other, et cetera. Everything kind of, you know, as recorded and everything seemed to kind of fit. It was interesting. And I did another version of Fear. I did a version of Fear on my first album, Letter from the End of the 20th Century. It's been, I recorded it for another, Native Joy for Real. And then I thought, you know, there's a whole generation that hasn't heard that piece. So I recorded it again.
I'm glad you mentioned Fear, which I Give You Back is the name of the original poem, I think. And I heard a version where you were reading it in, say, like 10 years ago. And what's interesting is how you read this poem. I mean, as you, I guess you're with the music, you're sort of declaiming the poem, I suppose, but how different it sounds 10 years later.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something you notice with your poetry, that as you go back to, and there's a number of these tracks, I mean, some of these poems go back a number of years. Do you find that you have a new interpretation of how you say them or how you sing them or declaim them today?
I think so, because I wouldn't, and some pieces just keep emerging and reemerging. Like Remember, that poem, somebody wants to make a film of it, there's going to be a book of it, and that was one of my earliest poems. But yeah, it's, some of them just have larger lives.
That is a classic. That's I guess from what I understand, it's a poem that'll be read at, you know, weddings, funerals. It's a big event sort of poem. And I'd be interested in the whole studio process, because this record, as you mentioned, sounds so different than the last one you made, from the very first piece with the Muskogee Creek song. Yeah,
uh-huh.
Muskogee Creek song, going right into An American Sunrise. I mean, it's a very different album. How was the process of creating the tracks for your work?
It depended. Some of them I came in, I had that one
right.
ready.
Yeah.
I had that one ready. And I had laid it down, and we were, and then I got the idea. I thought, my cousin Joe Salfer taught me that song, and I was thinking, I bet I have that. I've got that on my phone, and I found it. It fit perfectly in there at the end. It made such a nice circle, which is what the song intends to do anyway. It's a welcoming song.
Right.
And so some of them I came in, How Love Blows Through the Trees, I came in with that, you know, like, the ones mostly that we kind of worked on in the studio were the ones where I usually do an album with 10 songs. And Barrett, he's recorded quite a number of albums. You know, he was a Screaming Trees drummer, and he was part of that whole grunge movement, and they're all...
And he does ethnographic albums. He does all sorts of musics. And,
right,
and that's
right.
Also apparent on your album, too, as you hear, you know, world music influences and everything in this recording. So,
right, and I listen to a little bit of everything. And so anyway, we brought that. So then what we did is that's where I brought in Remember, and then I just started singing on it at the end, you know, how things happen. But he started doing doing the percussion stuff and drums around, and some pieces around some of the poems. But other songs like Stomp All Night, I'd worked on that song I started working on that song about 4 or 5 years ago. But I never had it quite right, the lyrics or the music. And that one I brought in, and I have that Rabbit, one of my favorites is Rabbit Invents a Saxophone.
Well, why don't we hear some music from the recording? And I think one of the best ways to start is, again, you start with a Muskogee Creek traditional song. It's a welcoming mm-hmm. song, and it goes right into An American Sunrise, which, you know, this is a relatively new poem that you wrote. So before we hear a little bit of that, tell us about the story of creating the track for this.
Yeah, I think that track kind of tells the story of the album, because when I was living in Albuquerque, one day I went up with Barrett, you know, how musicians, everybody hangs out. And he says, let's go record. Went to a friend's studio, and he recorded drum, and I recorded shakers and all kinds of, you know, other percussion. And so I'd had those tracks, and that's probably been about 10 years. And he asked me, he was doing his ethnographic book, and he said, I have a space for a contemporary Native song. I said, oh, cool. I says, I'll write one. You know, I tell him, I'll write one for you. So I pulled out all of those tracks and found one. And then on my kitchen table, I have a pretty good setup, though. I recorded the horn, which I re-recorded. It was released in an earlier version. I recorded the horn and the voice in my kitchen and then sent it to him. And then he recorded vibraphone and bass. So that was kind of started. That was really the start of the album.
Mm-hmm.
And so we kind of worked like that. He wanted to, I dragged my feet. I didn't want to re-record, but of course he wanted to redo the drums so they would have, you know, similar sonic quality of everything, which that makes sense to me.
Yeah, and it has such a great groove to it.
Oh, yeah, I love the groove. So that's why I picked it out of that list. But then I redid the horn. You know, I just thought I have to redo the horn, so.
Well, let's hear a little bit of An American Sunrise. This is from my guest today, Joy Harjo, from her new recording, I Pray for My Enemies.
We were running out of breath. As we ran to meet ourselves, we were surfacing the edge of our ancestors' fights and ready to strike. It was difficult to lose days in the Indian bar if you were straight. Easy if you played pool and drank to remember to forget. We made plans to be professional, and some of us could sing. We drove to the edge of the mountains with a drum. We made sense of our beautiful crazed lives under the starry stars. We learned the devil from the Christians. We sang. We were the heathens, but needed to be saved.
That's music by my guest today, Joy Harjo, poet, musician, and third term poet laureate of the United States, right here from Tulsa, Oklahoma. And she's our guest today on Studio Tulsa. She's celebrating the release of her new album, I Pray for My Enemies, with a special preview event tonight at 7 on the Woody Guthrie Center's Facebook Live page titled Feeding the Spirit of a Nation. Well, earlier you mentioned the tune Rabbit Invents the Saxophone. I love this song because it's funny. And you say every project you want to have a trickster piece. Of course, Rabbit is the trickster. And I love some of the lines in there. You said, you know, Rabbit invents the saxophone, and the saxophone makes old women dance and the girls fall to their knees, made singers of tricksters, made tricksters of players, and it made trouble wherever it sang. That is a great line. Was that something you wrote on the spot, or is this a piece that came together during the recording process?
That piece, no, I wrote, that was appeared in my collection, Conflict Resolution for Holy Beings.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And I always wanted to do some kind of wild piece with it. You know, of course, it begs a saxophone, and of course, Adolf Sax invented the saxophone, and it caused great grief in his life. So I always honor him that he invented it, but of course, it very much is a trickster horn. I wanted to say before I forget that Rich Robinson played a really cool guitar solo, and he's of the Black Crowes in An American Sunrise. So yeah, we just flew that in. He didn't sit in our studio, and I didn't get to watch him at it. So I just wanted to add that. But going back to, I have a great love of the sax. Of course, I play sax, and it didn't make sense. I didn't learn to play well until I was almost 40. And, you know, a poet and somebody who speaks should have an accompanying instrument that they can play, like a guitar, you know, not a saxophone. It's like the speaking voice, the writing voice, the horn playing, flute playing voice is the same voice.
You know, it's funny, you were talking about how when Adolf Sax created the sax, he got so much grief, and yet it is pretty much as your lines described earlier, it is the musical instrument next to the guitar, it's probably the one that sort of connects with people in a way that, you know, more than any other instrument.
It has a quality of the human voice, and, you know, my grandmother, Naomi Harjo, played saxophone in Indian Territory.
Wow.
And someone told me once that there was a period in the early 1900s where the saxophone was like the guitar in its popularity.
Was she in an all-girl band?
I don't know. She's
yeah,
long,
that was
she's
a very popular thing in those days, you know?
Uh-huh.
That's a very cool story. Well, why don't we hear a little bit of Rabbit Invents the Saxophone? This is from my guest today, Joy Harjo, from her new recording, I Pray for My Enemies.
When one of the last trails of tears wound through New Orleans, Rabbit, that ragged trickster, decided he wanted to be a musician. He was tired of walking, and they had all the fun. They got all the women. Fans gave them smokes, drinks, and he could have all kinds of new friends to do his bidding. But Rabbit hadn't proved to be musical. When he led at stomp dance, no one would follow. No shell shaker would shake shells for him. He was never invited to lead, even when the young ones were called up to practice. The first thing a musician needs is a band, he said to his friends. The hottest new music was being made at Congo Square. So many tribes are jamming there, African, Native, Cuban, and a few remnant French, making a new music of melody, love, and beat.
That's music from the new recording, I Pray for My Enemies, by Joy Harjo. The tune Rabbit Invents the Saxophone. She'll have a preview event tonight at 7 on Facebook Live through the Woody Guthrie Center, titled Feeding the Spirit of a Nation. It's a preview event of the release of the new recording. I have to ask about one song, which you actually said is a song. It is probably the most conventional song on the album, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, it's just,
yeah.
It has this harmonic structure that it sounds like it was a song, and that's One Day There Will Be Horses. Tell us a little bit about this song.
That's probably the oldest, well, as far as songs, that's the oldest one on here. And that one, I wrote the song when I first moved back to the Tulsa area in November 2011. I was living in Glenville in a house that had been my sister's. And, you know, people wouldn't call before they'd come. They would just knock on the door, you know. And here I am writing her with a deadline. But then I liked that, though. I mean, I liked being back in the community, in my community. I liked that. So that song came after, you know, it's kind of what happened. Somebody needing a ride and, you know, everybody has a story. And it's important, I think, to honor everybody's stories. We may not understand them, and often they conflict with ours. But, you know, if we were that person, it would be our story. And ultimately, I think all our stories connect. And so that one, I just started singing. And when we went into the studio, I have my own version of it. I have a couple. I have more than one version, but it's the same melody. And then Barrett says, "Well, I have this new song," and he started playing that. I just started singing my melody with, you know, the chord structure, and so it fit right into it. So I like that. Yeah, that song. I love the trumpet. I love the trumpet on that song too.
You stood at my door, peered out from the wreck of a three-day drunk. Your eyes said, "Good man works with hands and wants a chance." You wanted a ride to the other side of town. No way to walk the bridge over Pocock Creek.
The other nice touch that shows up throughout the album is the playing of Rahim Alhaj, who is an oud player. And, you know, when you think of, you know, Muscogee Creek poet, singer, musician, and the oud, you don't think of that going together, but it actually really does very, very well.
I got to meet him, I guess, through Barrett years ago in Albuquerque. He lives in Albuquerque. And I have a sister. When we saw each other for the first time, we realized we were sisters, and she's from a wonderful poet and journalist from Iraq. And ever since I was a child, growing up here in Tulsa, I always wanted to go to Iraq. So to have, and I listened to a lot of music from that part of the world. So it was such an honor to have him, because I'm familiar a little with his music, to have him come onto the album and play on two different pieces. And the music fits right in. It's just beautiful. It's haunting, and it fits perfectly, I think.
Now, as you mentioned earlier, said a number of these poems go way, way back in your career. But is there some poems and work that is brand new? I'm thinking of How Love Blows Through the Tree. Is that
That's new.
What was the inspiration for that?
That was the beginning of the pandemic. And I'm sitting in my apartment here in the Arts District looking out, and it was gray out. And it was gray in the atmosphere because none of us knew what this meant or how long we were going to be sequestered. And I'm looking at the trees, and that's how that I wrote it. And I wrote it knowing, it's interesting, because I'll write a poem knowing it's going to be a poem. I wrote this knowing it was going to be a song. I have a new one I'm working on that is going to be it's kind of ballady, but it's a song, a new piece I'm working on that's brand new. But this one, it's a song. I wrote it to be a song, and it's the probably one of the it's the newest song. I have my categories. Yeah.
Well, what's interesting is when I see some of the poems that are a part of this album, and I see them on the page, I say, this is obviously a poem. But when I hear it on the album, it sounds like it's a song. It's almost like the meter, which I don't detect on the page, all of a sudden lines up with the groove that's a part of this recording. And I'm trying to remember the tune exactly that I noticed that for Calling the Spirit Back. You don't necessarily see the meter on the page, but in the tune, you absolutely hear it.
Yeah. There's some, what really led me to poetry was music. My mother, she used to write songs. And I'm trying to think of that famous band leader here in town. Actually took one of her songs and did
Ernie Fields?
Yeah, Ernie Fields took one of her songs and did an arrangement of one of her songs. She actually did some demos. She was a singer and liked to write songs. And I remember when I was really young, we had a lot of those country swing musicians over at our house. So that's how I came to poetry. And she liked poetry. She would speak poetry. And she loved poetry, and that's where, both my parents were great dancers. They used to hang out at Kane's Ballroom, and there was another dance place, I've written about it, somewhere in town that was pretty popular where they met. Hmm. And so that was, and I've always, from the very beginning with my poetry, which I didn't start writing until I was in my early 20s, I did write horrible acid rock song lyrics for a band at Indian School in Santa Fe. But yeah, I came to poetry through music, and I've always heard rhythm. My stuff is some people catch it, some not, but it's so rhythm driven. And even saying the word rhythm driven, there you go. It's very, and then I realize sometimes when I'm just reading something for a performance that I'm riffing. It sounds to me like horn, like my horn. It sounds like I'm riffing, but with my voice.
Now, do you prepare a different structure when you're thinking of a song as opposed to a poem that may become a song or maybe just be a poem? Is there a different meter or structure you're looking for?
Sometimes if I'm writing it as a song, I'm working towards a certain kind of form, but then I don't let myself be bound by any particular form, although I try to honor it just for the sake of just for the sake sometimes of what a form brings or the expectations one has when you're listening to a song. I love outside jazz. I love stuff that's really outside. And my work has always been investigative. That's not the best word. But at the same time, I don't want to lose. I always have to have a heart thread in there,
right.
A way for people to find themselves in and out, of a moment or a song.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned outside jazz, and one of your other projects beyond Poet Laureate is you have a Tulsa Artist Fellowship project, which is We Were There When Jazz Was Invented, that you're doing as a part of an outreach from the Artist Fellowship. And it's about the jazz of the Southeastern Native Nations peoples. And when you said that, I immediately thought of Mr. Don Cherry.
Oh, yeah. And that's, yeah, Don Cherry. And he was the one who influenced Jim Pepper to go back to his, or not go back because he never left, but to incorporate his Native music and song training with jazz. And I think he's the one that turned him in that direction. That's what he told me. I got to hang out with Jim some and get some lessons from him. I didn't start playing horn until I was almost 40. Yeah. And I went to New York one time to do a performance, and I looked up Jim, and I couldn't get a taxi to get me over there because I didn't want to go to that part of Brooklyn. Eventually I did. And then when I would come into town in New York, we'd go, always go. I still like to go over in the 40-something street where all the music, Sam Ash, all those nannies, all those music stores are, and there's a horn store, and just try out mouthpieces and look around.
That's a sign of a true saxophonist. That's, you guys spend more money on mouthpieces than any other horn player. Well, and I assume this project is something you're going to be working on over the next year?
Oh, yeah. It's an arts integration grant. And yes, it's something I've started working on some time ago, but you know, I've had so many books and projects and one thing or the other, but this is the year to get this. I'm doing it as a play, but there's a lot of interest, other kinds of interest in it. And so right now I am working on getting a revision so we can get going in the community, you know, do some community readings and, you know, pulling the community into the events and so on. So that's the project I'm working on when I'm not supporting the new album, which its birthday is March 5th, and a new anthology of Native poetry called, it's out in May, Living Nations, Living Words, and then a new memoir out in September from Norton called Poet Warrior.
So you are very, very busy.
Yes, and then lots of performances. Lots of virtual performances and so on. So, and then family and cooking and all the things. Yeah, I'm very busy, but I have a lot of great help. I really have a really fine circle of people to help me, including the Tulsa Artist Fellowship, you know, with this arts integration grant to help finally get, We Were There When Jazz Was Invented, which is a story that involves a young Tulsa band, and Justice Fields, the protagonist, with his need to, you know, track down the whole origin story of, to show that his people were part of the origin story of blues and jazz.
Yeah. Well, we look forward to that. Tonight at 7, you can get a preview of I Pray for My Enemies, the new album by my guest today and Poet Laureate of the United States, Joy Harjo. Joy, thanks very much for taking time to speak with me.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Joy Harjo speaking with us here on Studio Tulsa. Her new album is titled I Pray for My Enemies. There'll be a sneak preview of the album release tonight at 7 on Facebook Live in an event titled An Evening Feeding the Spirit of a Nation. Well, Studio Tulsa is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. I'm Rich Fisher.